So, Elena, wasn't it you who recommended the four-leafed shamrock?
Oh yeah. That was in that documentary that you talked about before.
Right, so I think I'm going to teach that one. Does anybody know
Awesome.
this tune anywhere? No.
Oh,
It's a reel, and it's a nice little tune. And Alina said she thinks it might be a Paddy O'Brien tune, but it's not really a total box tune, so, and I don't know it either, so I just learned it off the music. So I'm going to go off the music that I have. So
Did you
Alina,
call it the four-leaf shamrock?
it's called the four-leafed shamrock. I thought it would be kind of appropriate for St. Patrick's Day, you know. Being that I'm a box player, we can't, you know, if it was three-leaf shamrock, I wouldn't teach it, you know. But
What
because I'm,
key is it in?
it's in the key of D.
D.
Okay, so it's very easy. So I'll play a little because I just played it literally before I got online. So let me play. That's the B, the A part, right? So it's doubled, but the B part is a lovely little tune, I think, you know. Whoever wrote it, I don't know, but I like it, so I figured, what the heck? So let me. Does that sound okay to everybody there? Do I have any naysayers?
No, would you play it all the way through once about that tempo, or maybe a little faster?
Okay, I'll do the best I can because, like I said, I'm just learning it myself. So, okay, let me change. I'll do the. The ending is very weird. That's what they have written. I don't like it. I have to figure out what I'm going to do there. We'll do that ending on the first part. Okay? I apologize. Let me do it again. Sorry, Kay. But anyway, they have a dotted. Half quarter note there, the way they've written it. So we'll do it that way. So one more time, and I'll play it all the way through. Something like that. It's a lovely tune. And
Thank you.
Yep, it's on the Patty O'Brien. Jan just handed me the Eileen O'Brien CD, and it's on here, the Four Leaf Shamrock. So you're right, Alina. So I'll upload that CD, and then we'll listen to that version, not this week, but maybe next week. So anyway, so generally, what I do is I do little sections of tunes. So I'll do like the first bar. Okay, now there's a pickup is the E, but the actual tune starts on the F sharp, and it's in the key of D. So you got F sharp and C sharp. Okay, so it's the first bar with the pickup, including the pickup, goes to the C sharp, and the double notes, I always put a triplet on there, or you can do a bow trill. On the D, I do a triplet with the C sharp, D, C sharp, D, depending on your instrument, okay? Right, let me give me 1 second here because I think it's probably a good idea. Okay. To have the chat just in case I need it. Okay. Right? So as we learn a tune, this is my advice. It's up to you. Some people want to get from the beginning of the tune to the end of the tune as quick as possible. What I like to do is try and learn everything as we go. So we learn the notes, we learn the fingering as you go, and we learn the phrasing and the feel and the rhythm, and the ornaments that we can do, okay, if they're not too complicated. So unless we're doing complicated ornaments, we'll leave those until we get the melody off better, okay? So you get a feel of the lift of the tune. So the emphasis is on the F sharp on the one and the four and the E. Sorry. I gotta mute my phone. I do this every week. I forget to mute it. All right, so we'll add the next bar, right? Which starts on a D. So I do everything by ear, but I also understand the scale of D, right? So if I'm listening to a melody, I get a sense of which direction the scale is going, which makes it easier and quicker for me to learn. Now, I cheated today because I have the music, and I need the music today because I'm going to teach it to you. But if I learn this tune, that's what I'd be listening for, right? So I'm listening. I'm going up the scale. When I say up the scale, lower, I'm going up the scale, lower. I'm not going down the scale, which to me is going higher, okay? So that's a D, B, A, F sharp. Okay. So there's a D. Again, the emphasis is on the one and the four, on the D, and the next D on that rondo. Right? So you get that swing, or a nice little swing there, right? So let's do it from the beginning, right? It's not a difficult tune. I'll play it a little slower. So anytime you're doing this tune, unless you're using it, playing this tune after another tune, you can always hold the pickup note. The pickup note is exactly what it is. You can play it long. It's written short, but you can play it long or slow as fast as you want. Okay, we'll do it again. Three, four. Okay, three, four. Okay, before we go any further, are there any questions? I have two screens here, so I've got to pay attention to both screens. So, any questions from anybody before I keep going? Is this okay? Is there any issues with what I'm doing? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Okay, go over the second part a second time if you don't mind. The second part of that.
Of the second bar. Who's the, who? Oh, Greer.
Yeah,
Yeah.
just go over the second part a couple of times, please.
We do the D. So again, the D, three, four, and. Three, four, and. So the reason I do this, teach this way, is if you get the rhythm and the phrasing, when you speed the tune up, when you, so a lot of people say, oh, I don't think I can't play it that fast. But if you think about, and I've touched on this before, just learn it's repetitive motion, right? But if you have that phrasing nice and tight at that speed, that's just a tiny bit faster. And we go a little faster again. That's actually not much faster than. It just seems a lot faster, but to actually physically play it, it's not that much faster. Okay, we're going to go back to the first bar because I don't want everybody to forget the first bar. So. Okay, we'll do it again. Three, four, and. So one other thing I'm going to say. So this is the beauty about doing it this way, because you're all at home and nobody can hear you. So part of the problem is when you're in a group scenario, in a group setting, there's a tendency for especially fiddle players, that want that you're playing in here because you don't want to be heard. So you're kind of like this, and you're really not playing. So the important thing is, Lena would know this for sure with the pipes, with having a reed instrument. You've got to play it out. Okay, so don't be afraid to play it. If you're in the comfort of your own home and nobody's there, you're not going to bother anybody. So you want the richness of the tone of your instrument is going to help you, because I've said this before about playing in the sessions. If you play with the same person every week in the same seat in the same position of every session that you play at, when you go to another session and you sit in a different place and you're going to hear that tune, it's going to sound so foreign to you. That's why I tell you to move around, even at your own session. Don't sit beside your best friend every week because they're your best friend. You say, I'll see you next week, and move, right? Because your ear is going to get so used to that, right? As repetitive motion, physical motion, and repetitive listening has the same connotation to it. So you have to be really careful about that, right? All right, here we go. Three, four. Right, so then now the next bar. So what I do is I build on it. So we learn the next bar, and then we go back to the beginning, and then we play all three bars together. We're doing the next bar. We'll go over that bar. We'll come back to the beginning, and we'll play through those bars. And that's the way I teach, right? So let's play one more time, and then we'll do the next bar. Three, four. Okay, we're finished on the F sharp there. So the next note is going to be the low D. I call it low D because of my instrument. That's the lowest D I have. So now we're going to go down the scale, right? Or up the scale. Right. So it's really tricky here. It's very easy to go to the A, because that's very something that happens a lot in traditional music, in Irish music. But we want to go to the B. Okay, that run from the D. And then to the A. It's a really nice, it sounds like a very simple bar, but it really has a beautiful movement to it. And it going back to the A is kind of, you wouldn't expect that if when you're learning this tune. So, and let's go back to the beginning and put it all together. And we'll play that a couple of times. Okay, so I'll play a long pickup for you guys. Okay, again, 3, 4. So my accents are usually on the 1 and the 4. That's kind of where I have it. You know, I do fluctuate on certain tunes. So, Alina, is this very much different than what you know?
Well, I don't know it really that well. I've just heard it once or so. I think it's about the same.
I'd say it's pretty close. So we'll stick with this, and you know, then we'll change it if we have to down the road. Okay, again, 3, 4. Okay, so the next bar is the E. So it's a quarter note, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a theory guy, so. So. It's the eighth note, I guess, is it? It's a very common little line of notes there in Irish, in traditional music. There's probably 100 tunes with that little line right there. So you've probably played that before and you don't even realize it. Okay, I'm going to say this now. I'm going to be controversial because you guys have heard me make mistakes before. But I'm going to say this in the general context. I'm going to say to all my students, and especially when I'm teaching tunes, if you play it once, you know it. All you have to do is believe it, okay? So generally, and I'm guilty of it too, and certainly doing a slow session, playing tunes that I don't really know, I second-guess myself, I get a little panicky or a little nervous, you hit a wrong note and you're done. So you have to play it, and then you believe it, especially if you have a chance to play it 4 or 5 times over that each bar, you know it. So just play it. Don't overthink it. Don't give yourself a heart attack trying to do it. Just play it. Enjoy it, right? That's part of learning. If you played it once, you know it. This is the greatest computer in the world right here. And sometimes I don't use it very well, but I, you know, most of the time, musically speaking, I like to think I do. So let's go again from the beginning. Right? 3, 4. Right, I'll do it again. three. I got to keep an eye on the time. Three, four, and. Sorry, three, four. Now we're going to repeat. That's the beautiful thing about Irish music. The next bar. It's exactly the same as the first bar, but we're not playing the pickup. Okay? Let's play it in context from the beginning of the melody. Three, four. So the next bar is going to change. So it starts on a D. So again, this is the beautiful thing about Paddy O'Brien's writing, right? So a common thing to do would be D. Go D A E A. He does D A E C sharp. And then the next. So the second bar of the tune we played is a eighth. This is basically the same thing. He's just not holding a note. He's adding the notes. Right? Rather than. So. Okay, so let's put it in context and we'll go back to the beginning. And then the last two bars. So we've done that already. Right? That's the same as the third bar of the tune that we've already played. And then the ending. Let's recap this so that you get an idea of what. So the first bar and the fifth bar are the same. The second bar and the sixth bar are pretty much the same. He's just added, instead of holding the D's, added an A. Right? The third bar is the same as the seventh bar. It's exactly the same. So basically, the first four bars, you've already learned the first half of the tune. Okay? Just a minor little change. So, let's go back to the very beginning. Again. So for those of you who might be struggling a little bit, so you don't have to do those triplets. I just add the triplets. So generally speaking in Irish music, if you have... any double notes like that? I always add a triplet. Okay? It's just a habit of mine. So you can play the 2D... You don't have to do the triplet now. You can add it later. But I like to add this stuff as I'm learning the tune. It's just, to me... So here's my reasoning. You go learn the melody. You play all the notes. Now you got to go back. Now you got to learn ornaments. Then you learn the ornaments. Then you got to go back. Now you got to learn, now because you've got added stuff, now you got to relearn the phrasing and the feel of the tune. That's crazy. Now you're doing triple the work. So take it a little slower and learn each bar as it goes and then add them together and you have all those ingredients, right? It's like cooking. You know, I cook a lot. So as you know, a lot of people know I cook, right? You can't just add certain ingredients and say, oh, let me go back and add this ingredient. That, you know, it doesn't work that way, right? So this is how you're cooking your tune. You're playing each bar as you go. You get a feel for the rhythm and the phrasing of the tune at a certain tempo that you're comfortable with. And as you get towards the end of the first part of the tune, then you start picking it up just a little bit. Okay, I can guarantee you I've done it. I've done it at Swan and Ore. I teach a tune in 1 hour to a whole class, 15, 20 people, and they're playing it up to tempo within the hour. You can do it. Just don't get in your own way. Right? Let's do it again. 3, 4. Okay, the other thing to think about when you're learning, and I think this is the same for any instrument, right? So whether you're playing fiddle or flute or whatever, when you think about the scale and where you're going with the notes, there's a tendency, and I know with box players, there's a tendency to overreach, right? They overreach the button and you get to the next button. Well, the next button is way off on the scale, right? So obviously you want to train your ear, okay, which is what we want to do. I train my ear a lot. So you train your ear, but you don't overreach. Even if you're not sure what the next note is, don't go 2, 3, 4 notes ahead. Try the next note. you're going to hear it right away if it's not right. So especially on again, if you're in the scale of G or the D, right? So you go D to B or D to C sharp or D to F sharp if you're going higher on the scale, right? So those are the choices if you're on a D. You know, very, you know, you might go D to A, middle A. So just think about that, you know, it's 428. So an idea I just had, because I'm thinking about this stuff all the time. So I'd be happy to, I think we might have got through the tune if we had an hour, right? So next week, I'll be happy to do an hour if you want, but we'll start a half hour early. I don't want to take an hour out of the session. So if you want to do that, I don't mind doing that. Because I think we could have got through this tune within an hour. But I don't want to take away from the session. So let me know, give me some feedback, because, you know, my style might not work for some of you. I don't know. But this is how I do teach in a group setting. And it's the first time I've done it virtually. So it would be kind of interesting to see how it goes or what the feedback is. And look, we all learn at different paces, right? So that's, we have to understand that. Some people's ears are great. If I can get organized, maybe I can tell you what tune we're going to do ahead of time for those who want to read music or who sight read. I personally would prefer that you train your ear. I'm not saying don't read, because I read, but I think in Irish music, the more you train your ear, the better. Okay. Ear training is, like I said, is like anything else. It's when we learn these tunes, right? I'm going to tell you this. This is my way of thinking about it, and you can disagree. I've been playing for 50 years, and I understand that. Some people started late in life. I've been playing since I was a kid. But the reality is, every time I pick up this instrument, okay, I'm looking to play the best that I can, right? Like all of you. But the bottom line is, it's a percentage number. So nobody's ever 100%. So not even me, not even Joe Burke, or even your greatest fiddle player, Michael Coleman, whoever it may be, Brian Conway, whoever. None of us are that perfect, okay? So it's a percentage game. So if you're at 40% of playing a certain tune and you want to try and get it to 50%, right? You're not going to go from 40% to 80%. It's not realistic. Go get it to 50%. When you're at 50%, now you're a little bit more confident. You feel a little bit better about yourself. You feel a bit better about the tune. Now you can reach for 60, 65%. Okay? So it's a percentage game. There's days I pick this up, like yesterday, and Michael's session, it wasn't happening. I was up at 3:30 in the morning, and physically I just wasn't able to play. Okay? Sometimes when I do the session here, as you know, I don't have a great day. You can't have a great day every day. So what we're trying to do is we're going to try to play the best we can as often as we can. That's all it is. And we're no different.
Say, Charles, what's the name of that tune there again?
It's called the Four-Leaf Shamrock.
The Four-Leaf Shamrock.
Right.
Cool.
John. Just for fiddlers, I had learned this tune from Eileen O'Brien, and there's some real lift that she does with combining the bowing with two notes. If you wanted, I could just play the A part just to have people who play fiddle hear what she had taught me.
Okay. Let's do that, and then we're going to move on because it's already 4:32, so.
So there's that, she was, you know, it was combining like the B, C, or C, D, and then the F, E, so that there was one bow for two notes at a time. So it gave this lilt.
Right.
That Eileen, of course, plays beautifully. But I just thought I'd throw that in for fiddlers.
Can you do the second part as well, just so we got the whole thing?
Sure.
Thank you.
sorry. Sorry, I messed up a little bit, but it's that kind of lift that she...
It's that Claire thing.
Yeah. Although she's temporary, she would... Temporary.
Oh, that's right. I should know that too, because my mother was from Tip, and I know Patty O'Brien. Yeah, that was a boo-boo on my part. Like, give me a second here, because I've got to get my set list. Hold on. I printed it. I did take it, I guess. Did it not? Oh, it's flashing. It didn't print.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Yes, I was going to say, so this is the only green shirt that I have. And it's from the Mississippi Celtic Festival. St. Patrick's Day has been an interesting day. It's a lot of stuff going on. And it's a tough month for me because, as you know, I told you, most people know that, you know, my father passed away the 25th of March last year. And my mother passed away on the 30th of March, 2007. And then my father's father, my grandfather died March 31st, 2008. So it's not a good month in that respect, but... I'm still here, alive and kicking, and
we're happy for that.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Well, listen, we have a nice crowd. We have 73 people. We don't do it now, but please give me some feedback. You know, I don't know if I actually print the chat, so it's not really going to do me any good if you put stuff in the chat for me about the teaching. So just send me an email. It'll take you 2 seconds. So, you know, give me your opinion one way or the other. Thank you, sweetie. Mm-hmm. All right. She's the best. That's the smartest thing I ever did was marry that woman. All right. Let's start off nice and simple here with let's do the Dumfries Hornpipe because it's one of my favorite tunes. And I've heard a lot of reels today. And a little bit more banging than I really want to hear, too. So, St. Patrick's Day is always an interesting day, isn't it? The diversity of what is supposed to be Irish music is kind of interesting.
It's interesting, and it was yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. So your St. Patrick's Day was yesterday.
I'd like to thank the United States for having daylight savings, because that means instead of getting up for 8, it's get up for 7. So if you start your lesson early, I'll be getting up at 5:45. So yay! It's okay though.
Give me
the sun's up hours ago.
Listen, if it makes you feel any better, when I was working in Manhattan, I had to take a train from Connecticut. It was an hour and a half each way. The train was at 4:05, so that'll give you an idea what time I had to get up. And I did that for years, but I wasn't getting up to play music, unfortunately, which, although I did take the accordion into work sometimes, and I did actually play on the train a few times. A lot of Metro North in Connecticut, a lot of Irish people work on the Metro North, as was ticket agents and stuff like that, you know. So we've actually had some good crack on the... So Dumfries and Galway. All right. Let me see. Who we got here?
Elizabeth. There's a woman named Florrie Jagoda who brought music to the United States, Sephardic Jewish music, because she was escaping from Nazi Europe. And the way she escaped was by playing her accordion on the train, and nobody asked her for identification because she played her music with her accordion and she sang and everybody on the train was enjoying it. She called it her harmonica because that's what they called it there, but that's escaped by playing the music on the train.
Many's the time I would play on the train and they wouldn't ask me for my ticket so I could use it the next day. All right, let's play some music. So Dumfries and Galway.
Thank you.
There you go. Two great hornpipes. So I went back in the list so obviously we've played these before, but it went way back on the list. So I don't think we've done any of these tunes in a while, but I'm really excited about these tunes now, looking at them. But we do Lucy Campbell's and The Morning Dew. When I play Lucy Campbell's, it always reminds me of Lucy Farr, because she loved that tune, I guess because the first name was Lucy, I don't know. But we always played that tune together, me and Lucy. Every time I saw her, we'd play that Lucy Campbell's tune. So Lucy Campbell and The Morning Dew. So. Right, and then. I'll try and play it as straight as possible. I do a lot of, as I would say, bits. I was telling Jimmy Keane the other day, last Saturday, he does a lot of bits in the tunes, and a lot of nice little bits too. So. All right, so. Thank you. Problem is, there's so many versions of that tune, isn't there? You know, so and I do my own little bits in there too. So
the version is the one I've almost always heard, John.
What was that, Yvette?
The version is the one I've almost always heard. The one I learned to play years ago, and I've almost always heard it played that way.
Lovely. Well, good. Thank
yeah,
you.
And I like it. I really like
those same notes. Yeah.
Well, just for the record, I can't get enough of that. So anybody else wants to tell me how much they like it, go ahead.
Those are great, great tunes.
I like your little bits, John. Your little bits are really good.
Who said
that? Yeah, there was something you did on that last, on the C part. It was really kind of, I hadn't heard it before. It's very, I'll have to go back and listen to the recording and see if I can pick it up.
Oh, yeah. Well, at the tempo we played, it should be fairly straightforward to get it. But anyway, I'm just kidding. You know, my sense of humor coming across there.
I am especially fond of Lucy Campbell's. I loved hearing that in that set.
Oh, yeah. Lucy's is such a beautiful melody. Look, that's why a lot of these melodies have been around for hundreds of years. You know, it's not always because they're easy. It's because they're nice, you know? I mean, if you think of some of the best pop hits in our lifetime, some of the simplest songs in the world, but you get a catchy beat or a good rhythm, there you go. All right, let's do the Apples in Winter and the Moon Coin. All right, and so Marilyn, I think you should know this one, Marilyn, right? This is the Brian set for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I played it for him just yesterday.
Good. All right. Well, you get to do it again. So let me see now. Michael, I've lost you, Michael. Why is that? Where are you? Where are you hiding on me? Keep talking. Oh, there you are. I gotta put you where I know you are and I can see you. Okay, good. Let's see your shirt. You probably have the most outrageous shirt of anybody here tonight, right? You gotta. Where's Anne? Let me see. I gotta scroll through my windows here. I don't see her standing up. Where is she? Oh, yeah, I do. I'm sorry. You're in the dark, though. We can't see it, and there's no light. And you're in the dark.
Right. I may have to change into my best Irish shirt soon. Be rotating best shirts.
Here's my shirt from Australia. It's right, Innis Down Under. That's right. What it says on the back, Innis Down Under.
Keep talking.
That's great.
Keep talking.
All right, Denise, from Down Under from Anchorage, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, Denise.
Hi, Betty. How you doing?
Let me see it again, Denise. Oh, the Guinness. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, there you go. I like that. Very cool. All right, everybody. I'm impressed that everybody's here for. I mean, there's so much on tonight, isn't there? There's so much stuff out there, but this is the most fun, isn't it? All right. So, Apples in Winter and the Moon Crane. Lynn, what do you think so far? Are you having fun yet?
Yeah, I don't know these tunes, so I'm trying to follow them on the session.
Oh, that's okay. You'll get them.
I can play about one note per bar.
Yeah, well, the recordings will be available if you...
I can learn them.
Do you want to talk about that, Michael? Well, because Lynn is new here, so... Yeah, so Lynn, if you want that, you can grab that recording and then put it on your computer or whatever, or on the cloud, wherever you can store it, and then you have it. So, okay. And we've been doing that from day one. So,
I wish I'd known before.
Yeah, well, that's okay, but you're new, so now you know. And yep. And hopefully you'll keep coming back. So, all right, so here we go.
So fun.
It's a great tune. It's a great tune. So let me say this. So I think the biggest issue for me, or one of the biggest issues for me on St. Patrick's Day, is I'm listening and watching stuff today while I'm working, but I listen to stuff as well, and I watch stuff, and it's people are playing jigs just way too fast. Now, I understand commercially I play fast. I do. I mean, I play pretty fast. But there's fast, and then there's like fast, hurried fast, right? So where the phrasing is like so bad. So there's a tendency when people stop playing like that and you don't hold back on the notes, you're always going to be pushing forward, right? So there's always, the math. The bottom line is we don't think about it, and I've said this before, so maybe I'm like a broken record, I don't know, but, it's all about the math in the bar. And you can phrase the bar any way you want, but make it have sense. It has to, still, the math has to be equal, right? You can divvy out your money in your pocket, you have $10 and you divvy it out in several different ways, but it's still $10. The same thing with your bar of music. You can divvy out those notes any way you want, but it's still the same bar of music. The same math in that music has to stay the same. So you can make one note longer than the note that should be longer, right? Any of that kind of stuff can happen. But so my point in bringing that up is that a lot of people say, "Oh, I can't play that fast when I'm playing." And I'm saying, you're already playing that fast. but the phrasing is off. So you're actually playing worse than I am in that sense, right? So that's not much different. So if you speed that up, just you sped up your music in increments like that, and you get the muscle memory going in your fingers, in your bow, and all that, your finger positions. There's no reason why you couldn't play a jig. Right? Part of the problem is everybody's in such a hurry to learn tunes, right? And not doing it the way that we did it, but they go from one end of the tune to the other, go through it, they're done, okay, I got that one, but they don't really learn it, you know? Like I said, I have that discussion a lot with musicians, you know? Oh yeah, great, thank you. Yeah, I should mention that. So, let me just finish this. If I'm talking too much, you can tell me off and I won't do it again next week. But I think this is the biggest beef I have in the music is the jigs. Most people get reels, they get the hornpipes to some degree, but the jigs, just they drive me batty. So you've got to take the time with the melody. You got to learn your tunes. Like I said, learn each bar at a time and learn the phrasing as you go. And then your muscle memory gets used to that. So when you do speed it up, you're not going to be rushing notes or panicking around notes that you shouldn't be panicking on, right? That's the simple way to put it. I know it's not that easy, but you play it once you know it, then you got to believe it. That's it. You got to believe it. You got to believe in yourself and trust yourself. And I will say this, you have to allow yourself to make a mistake. All right, so part of the fear of playing, especially in front of people, is, oh, I'm going to make a mistake. Well, we all make mistakes. I made mistakes today, right? So after my big speak about percentages, I screwed up Morning Dew, the beginning of Morning Dew. It happens, all right? You got to make the mistake. When you make the mistake, you can fix it. If you're afraid of making a mistake, you'll always make it. That's my philosophy on it. So don't be afraid of making a mistake. Make the mistake and then fix it. You make another mistake. You stop, you fix it. That's all. All right. I'll shut up now. Let's do... I guess we could do White Mountain and Redikins. Or let me... Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I digressed. So, Saturday... Okay. And I haven't even had a drink today yet. So, as you know, everybody here knows, we're going to have the master session on Saturday. Joey Abarter and Nathan Gourley. I don't know Nathan that well, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, but I did see him on tour with Joey, and the guy is really good. He really is good. He's a lovely player. And the two of them together are just magical. They really are. And they're actually going to be together, which is the best thing. As you know, most of you probably come to those sessions. It's so much better when people can actually be together in a room. It's not that it's not good if they're not together, but it just adds to the whole feel of it. So Joey and Nathan will be in the same room playing together. Joey is, I think, one of the best living pipers there is, actually.
I totally agree with you, John, and I will be there. Joey's a great piper. He's also a lovely human being. I've known
him. Oh, Joey's great, you know, and Joey, I always kid around. He's the best dressed man in
hands down
in Irish music, you know. I'll tell you a funny story real quick about Joey. So Joey was on tour. We went to see him here in the Northwest, and I've known Joey and Jacqueline for a long time. And so when I saw him, I went right into him and I said, Joey, you better invite me to the bloody wedding, because Pat Manger got married. And I said, I took that guy to Spain when he was 16 years old, and he never invited me to the frickin' wedding. I never forgot it. But of course, I love Patrick too. But so Joey says, you know, he says, you're not going to believe this. He said, but we're actually going to make an announcement next weekend. So I preempted him. And then he gave me an invitation to the wedding, and I couldn't go. He's... Jackie, she's pregnant again. So I was hoping that she might dance, but I think she's kind of like due any minute. So I don't know if she got up and danced. She might pop out a baby and join our meeting. I don't know. But anyway, so we'll see. We'll play it by ear. But Joey, if you don't know anything about piping, I can tell you this one. Joey is an amazing piper. His use of the chanter and the drones and the accompaniment with the drum, it's unbelievable. The regulators. So, all right, that's all I have to say. Am I missing anything else, Michael? Yeah, Swan and Oa, I'm doing Swan and Oa. That's going to be virtual. But I am doing O'Flaherty's in October, which is actually going to be in person, because it's Texas, of course. But October, late October, I mean, come on. We should all be vaccinated and... things should be pretty bloody good by then. So I think they're still going to take precautions there. But if you guys feel like taking a trip, I'm actually, Jan and I, we're going to take our trailer and we're going to actually drive down. And we're going to make a trip of it. I'm ready to get on the bloody road and see stuff and see people. And, you know, even if I wait for the window.
Are you going to do Portal again? Are they having that?
Portal is, I talked to Peter, so they're not sure yet if they're going to do it in person. If it goes viral, I guess he'll be the one doing it again, because I don't think, what's her name? She's not into the tech stuff. So, oh my God, senior moment here. Susan? Yeah, she's not into the techie stuff. So I'm hoping it'll be in person. I'll be honest with you. Why not? I mean,
yeah.
You know, I think I don't see the danger, I'll be honest with you, by then, by the first weekend in October. And it's the anniversary year, right? I mean, last year you couldn't really call it the anniversary year, right? But I think so the thing about it, Portal, for everybody here, if you haven't been, it's a really small place and it fills up fast. So it's a minimal amount of people. It's not like some of these other places that take a lot of people. This is really, you know, a low quantity of people. Marilyn, how many people, Kay, how many people do you think will be there over the weekend?
What, 50, 60?
There you go. That'll give you an idea. I think there might be a little more than that. But
a little bit more than that. Yeah, but some years it was just that. And I've been there every year, and it's amazing. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
where is it?
It's in a place called, it's Portal. It's about 2 hours outside of Tucson, Arizona. It's near the Chiricahua Mountains.
Yeah, it's on the east side of the Chiricahuas, just over the border from New Mexico.
Right. And it's...
And about 50 miles north of Mexico. So it's way out there. But it's beautiful, and the wildlife is incredible, especially the birds.
You know what's amazing too? If you're into watching the stars, you can drive up into one of those hills and turn the lights off in your car. It's the blackest place that I was ever at. I mean, the stars are amazing there, you know? I mean, the stars are not bad here, you know, on the island, but the most amazing stars ever at Portal.
Definitely.
So, and they do nature walks and all that kind of stuff, you know, it's that kind of place. So, all right.
Are you saying that they are going to have their October 2021 live?
Which one are you talking about now?
The Portal?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I talked to Peter, so I don't know. I think part of the problem was Peter was saying that they have to find out if the people at Portal are okay with it.
Oh, yeah. Okay?
Not the people at the venue at Portal, but the town, the people around the town.
Sure.
If they're going to be okay with it, then there's a good chance it's going to happen. I don't know, you know, depending on what's happened with Susan, but I certainly hope it's, you know, because we'll take the trailer and we'll drive there and then drive to Texas, you know. And I'm looking forward to that trip. And it's actually where, you know, so for those of you who don't know, Jan and I met at Portal, and it's because of Marilyn and Frank, because Marilyn and Frank brought me to Portal. Okay, and so that's, I have to tell it like it is. I wouldn't be at Portal if it wasn't for Marilyn and Frank, because they
could. Oh, we had to pay John back for playing at the dance where we met.
Right, so that's right. So I played for their dancing, and they met with one of my dances and got married, and then Jan and I met at Portal, and so that's why Portal is special to us. We go there. That's, of course, she completely ignored me that whole weekend, but. But then she wised up and saw the.
He doesn't like to be tickled.
Yeah. I can't be tickled.
I won't tickle you. No. I'm not going to tickle you anymore. Okay, I'll go to my room. I'll say.
I got that from my dad. God rest his soul. You would do that to my dad across the room. 10 feet across the room, and he'd start getting like this. All right, I'm sorry, we digressed enough. What are we doing? Isn't this supposed to be a session? Now, what did I do? Oh, yeah, here.
You were saying White Mountain and Redikins.
Oh, thank you. But I got to get the music. Oh, yeah. That's right. I got the music in my hand. I mean, I know the tunes, but it's remembering how they start. You know, we talk about this. Okay, White Mountain and Redikins. Is that the order I have them in? Yeah. Somebody just posted the Banks of the Shannon today, but they didn't post this tune from Banks of the Shannon. They did a couple other tunes, but this tune was on Patty O'Brien's Banks of the Shannon. And then Redigan's. Lovely tunes. I love slip jigs. There's a great swing to slip jigs. So, and maybe I'll play the single reed. Okay. Thank you. more time. Love those tunes. Love them. How are we doing tempo-wise overall? We're doing okay? Yep, okay. I see thumbs up on the first page anyway, so let me switch pages. How are we doing on the second page? We're doing okay? Thumbs up? Yeah, Linda, how are you? Sue? Judy? Good to see you. Marcia? And who we got there? John? Jerry? Elaine, Steven, how are you, brother? Ellen, how are you, sweetie? You got a different name up there, though, today. Mark, how are you, buddy? Good to see you. And Denise, we've already spoken. Ken, good to see you. David, Carmel. How are you, darling? Lou, Amy, Kevin, Leslie. How are you? Isaac, how's it going? Who we got? Dee. Hey, Dee. How you doing? Terry, Jared, I saw you there earlier with Dad. How you guys doing? Okay, Jared, I'll talk to you a little after. Okay, we'll talk about the Catskill thing. I'll give you a FaceTime thing. Okay, Ryan, how are you?
John, yeah.
Always a pleasure. Who we got on the next page? Tony, how you doing? I gotta sound like Tony DeMarco every time I hear that. Tony DeMarco over here. Amy, good to see you. Carmel, I saw you already. What's going? There's two of you. David. Oh, let me see. Ann, good to see you again. Tom. Gail, Claire's phone. You're all in the dark. Let me see. JK. And Brenda. Stephen Robin. I saw you. Didn't I see you yesterday briefly? You were at the session there. Yeah, I'm really sorry I had to back out of that session. I felt really bad. Sam, Willie, William Foss, and who's it? Edmund, good to see you. Peggy, Marty, Carla, Brian Unit, Garth, how are you? Good to see you. Terry, good to see you. Ann and Nevin, always a pleasure. All right, there's one more page. I got to do this. I feel bad if I don't say hello. Oh, that's it. We had four pages before. We're losing. We lost a bunch of people. I got the heck with them. All right.
John, can I ask a quick question before you move on? With those, with the White Mountain and the Redikins, like on the list, it's in there as slides, but you said slip jigs. Are slides and slip jigs the same thing? No, I play them, but I don't know what to call them.
You know what? They were actually slip jigs, I think. I put them in the wrong place. I actually put them in the wrong, on the slides by mistake.
Okay.
That was my bad. Thanks for pointing that out, by the way. Somebody else points out your shortcomings.
I was just wondering what the difference is, so I'll Google that.
No, well, look, one is 12.8 and one is 9.8. Okay? So, I think. No, 12.8 is the polkas. Is it? No, slides. Look, I get them all mixed up, as you can tell. But thank you. No, seriously, I was kidding around. Thanks for pointing that out. I didn't put it together. I don't know why I did that. So let's do some slides then. So let's do Mikko Russell's and Patrick O'Keefe's. And then you'll see the difference between the slides. I always get confused with that because I don't read music. I'll just do it that way. And then, so. That's the first one, and then. So it goes on like that. So you get an idea of the rhythm and phrasing of it. So I'm going to start like that. Thank you. One more time. Finally, I don't play a lot of slides, you know. I do have a set group of slides that I play all the time, which is a really bad. So I should really learn more slides. But most sessions, to be honest, very rarely play slides. So that's part of it too. That, you know, obviously, a lot of sessions are mostly reels, jigs, and sometimes hornpipes. Very, very rarely, if ever, a slow tune. So, speaking of slow tunes, why don't we do that now? Let's do She Begs You More and Fanny Power. Okay, so I'm just going to play them. They're pretty slow. You guys, most of you guys probably know them already anyway. Thank you. Years, right? I mean, they're beautiful tunes, beautiful melodies.
I just love the variations you put in those two. They're so good.
Thank you very much. So, you know, you learn that little high thing I do there. So you learn that and you do it, when we play it again, you do it the first time that I play it, you do that while I'm playing the melody, straight melody. And that'll be your little loop around. And then when you come back to it, you play it straight. It doesn't make any sense if we all do that thing at the same time. You know what I mean? Because it's just a really a counterpoint to what the melody, the original melody is. All right. You want to try this? I don't know. Let's see. Let's do a set of reels. Ah, yeah. Why not? Maybe behind the bar. Yeah, good old. Maybe behind the bar and the bird in the bush. And then maybe we'll just tag on the four-leaf shamrock, okay? Even though we just learned it tonight, we can tag it on to the end of that, those two, right? So it'll be D, G, and D. All right. Right, so we know that, made behind the bar. So, Lynn, you look like you're ready to take off, Lynn. It looks like you know these tunes. I see you getting ready there. You're pumping up in your chair, so...
I'm enjoying myself.
Good. We're delighted. I'm glad. So, all right. Thank you. So I couldn't do it either. Myself and I jumped off the deep end and I lost. There was no water in the pool.
What was that last tune, John?
That was the tune we were working on before we started. There was the one we were learning, the four-leafed shamrock. And I didn't know it either, so we were all learning it together.
That's a Paddy O'Brien tune, isn't it, John?
It is, yeah. It's a Paddy O'Brien tune. So I crashed and burned on that one. So any of you that weren't here in the very beginning, we were learning that tune together the first half hour of the session. So for those of you that came after that, so what I've decided is we're going to do an hour, but I'm going to come a half hour early next week to the session and do the first half hour of the session teaching. So I'm going to do a whole hour, but I'm going to come a half hour early. Does that make sense? Did I not complicate that enough for everybody? So instead of 4 o'clock my time, it'll be 3:30 my time in the first hour. So 3:30 to 4:30 will be tune learning. And then, so let me ask you this question. I thought I was kind of intrigued because I was messing that up too, that it might be actually a simple enough tune and kind of a fun tune to learn to do Meeker Russell's, either that one or the is it Redican's Mother? The other, no. Yeah. No. I was thinking of the slides. Well, what the heck was it? Where is it now?
Either one of them would be great.
Yeah, I was thinking of the other one, though. Now I can't find the bloody music. So what did I... Padraig O'Keefe's. So what do you think? So why don't we do this? We could do Meeker Russell's or Padraig O'Keefe's, but we're going to learn the B part of Four-Leafed Shamrock first, okay? But I think this will be a simple enough tune that we can get through all of that in 1 hour. But you guys that are going to come to that first hour, why don't you just send me a message and say which one you want to do, and we'll do a, you know, whoever wins, that's the tune we'll do. How's that?
So what's the choices again?
Meeker Russell's or Padraig O'Keefe's?
Padraig O'Keefe.
All right. I think that'd be really good session tunes, actually. I know they don't play slides a lot in session tunes, but they should. All right. Let's do the Plains of Boyle and the Boys of Blue Hill. Okay? That's it, right? No? I get those two mixed up all the time. And then the Boys of Blue Hill. Okay, I did almost forget to mention, if anybody's interested, that I will be doing a master class. I don't know if you put that in there, Michael, but on the 21st of March, I still have some openings. Not too many, because the class is getting close to as full as I would like it. But I do have some openings if anybody's interested. On the 21st.
John, I have a question about how you're going to run that, or how you are you going to have tunes that you are going to be doing ahead of time like this one, or do you want us to have tunes to bring to the class? How are you going to run that?
I'm going to go through basic stuff. You know how I play the accordion? I think that in the master class, it's not really about learning tunes and that kind of stuff. It's more about understanding the instrument, and we'll work through all of that stuff. Fingering, ornaments, how to do rolls, triplets, that kind of stuff. And I know I'm going to have a bunch of different kinds of accordions there, but some of this stuff applies to both, you know?
Okay.
So that's basically what I do, because it's a master class, so I don't want to get bogged down in trying to teach a tune in an hour and a half or 2 hours, you know. And we'll see. I was planning an hour and a half, but if we have to, we'll go 2 hours. That's fine. It's not a big deal. I want to make sure everybody feels good about what they get out of it. But that's it, Maggie. If that's okay with you, that's what we're gonna do. So. Even some advanced players have habits that they shouldn't do, myself included. But my habits are not necessarily inhibiting what I'm doing overall. So that's the important thing. All right. Let me put some light on here. It's kind of getting dark here.
Thank you.
Finish off. Jan, you got to help me here.
With what?
With your set of reels.
Honey, I don't know that tune.
The Ash Plant set.
Oh, the Ash Plant. Oh, well, I used to know that.
We're going to do that set of tunes because that's Jan's favorite set of reels. We'll finish off with us.
For today.
And, of course, I can't ever remember how they start. That's the Ash Plant?
That's the Ash Plant.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, thanks very much, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And thanks for being here, and thanks for your continued support. Don't forget Saturday if you can. And like I say every week, if you can't make it, please share the information. That's all I ask. Get it out to as many people as possible. We were doing Sober St. Patrick's today online. It was through YouTube, and I was talking to the woman after the show and said we reached 1.5 million people.
Wow.
But we had less than 400.
Oh, wow.
So you get an idea of what it takes to get people to, you know, like. And then I said to her, well, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? So that's the bottom line. That is really the reality of where we're at with this kind of stuff. So I hate to sound like a broken record, but it's a numbers game. The more people know the information, the more chance we have of increasing the amount of people that come to the event. Okay? So appreciate your help. Appreciate your support. This is the first of new, because you got a new link today. I think you know that already. So this is the first of seven that I've signed up for. So we'll see how it goes. And if we have to keep going, we will. Okay? All right. So. Thank you. I'm sorry, folks, that was probably a little bit fast, but my stomach is talking to me, so I guess, you know, I'm hungry.
Thanks, John.